Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church on this fine summer day. What? Yeah. Welcome most warmly, though, to each and every one of you gathered here in this place, and also a warm welcome to those who are watching online with us, whether live or in catch-up service during the week. We're glad to have you with us in worship today as well. We have a few intimations to share at the start of our time together. First of all, a reminder that our next walk and talk on Sundays in July will occur next Sunday on the 30th of July at 12:30, and meeting at Duthie Park. Is that right, Fiona? Okay. Sorry? The Paul Muir Road end of Duthie Park for a picnic and walk together. So please do consider joining us next Sunday for that. Would you like more information? Please do speak with Fiona about that event. It's coming quickly, but August will be here before we know it. And on the first Sunday in August, the 6th of August, at 12 or 12:30, we'll have a shared lunch at the church center in honor of David Hendricks before we kick him out of here and send him back to America. Only kidding. We shall miss you, David. And we'll have the great pleasure and privilege on that Sunday of meeting David's parents as well. So please do consider coming along on that for that shared lunch to honor David's work and ministry with us. And please bring something to share, as per the norm with shared lunches. And in all truthfulness, come and wish David well and assure him of your prayers and good wishes as you transition back to the States for another year of study at Whitworth. A reminder that this Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. we'll continue with our weekly gathering of winnowers. This is a time where we meet in the quiet room downstairs in the church center to listen together to God's word for the coming Sunday. And so we gather together, and it's a very informal time together of listening and discussing the text so that we can discern together what the Lord may be saying to us as a church family through the gift of his written word. So that's Tuesday morning, 11 in the morning, in the quiet room downstairs in the church center. And even if you've never been before, each session is a standalone session. You don't need to have come before, but anyone is welcome to come along and join in this time together. And finally, I've been asked to announce that this next Sunday as well, on the 30th of July at St. Anne's Church, just down the road from here, at 3:30 in the afternoon, they'll have a choir from St. Andrew's Cathedral leading a service of choral evensong. This will last for anywhere between 45 minutes to 1 hour, and all are welcome to attend this event, and there is no charge for this event as well. So that's next Sunday as well, 30th of July, 3:30 in the afternoon at St. Anne's Episcopal Church. So if that's of interest to you, please do mark your diaries for that event. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family this morning? Anything else at all? With those shared, let us enter into our time of worship through song, with singing our first song of praise, Come, Let Us Worship Jesus. And during the singing of this song, your offering for God's continued work here in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Jesus.
The psalmist writes, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly King, it is truly right for us to be here in this place to sing praises to your holy name. You are Creator. You are Redeemer. You are the sustainer of each of our lives. We look around us, Lord. All of creation bears witness to your glory. The sun and the rain, the day and the night, everything around us bears witness to you. Lord, there are no words that can truly capture your glory. Lord, we are mindful in our own lives how often we fall short of your glory, how often we stray from the path of life that you have laid beneath our feet. And yet, Lord, we know that your grace keeps calling us back time and time again. We know that your goodness and your mercy pursue us every day of our lives. Lord, we know that you never, ever give up on us. We know that you are always faithful to the covenant that you have made. We know that you are God Almighty, never to be moved, never to be shaken. We are so thankful, Lord, that you are the foundation of our lives, that you are the rock on which we can build. We are so thankful for all of the signs of your blessings that you have poured into each of our lives, all of the ways that you sustain us day after day. Lord, we cannot even begin to count the number of blessings that each of us enjoys. So please, Lord, we ask that you accept these tithes and these offerings as a sign and symbol of the provision you have given to us. We now return a portion back to you because we know that all good things come from your hand. Lord, may this time of worship be a time of transformation for each of us. May each of us hear your word anew. May each of us hear you speaking to us, calling us to be more and more like Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the awesome privilege of being gathered together in this place as your people. We take all of these prayers and we bind them up in the strong and sure name of Jesus Christ, who is the one who taught us to say these words together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue in worship together by singing our next hymn of praise, Jesus Calls Us.
Jesus calls us over to come, all the lives by grace. I'd like to invite any children and parents who'd like to join me for the children's time. So this morning, we're talking about the eighth commandment, which is do not steal. But stealing has a lot to do with trust, so I'm actually going to tell you guys a story here about trust. You can see the picture here with Peter, one of Jesus' friends, and he's in the ocean with Jesus right here. Peter and Jesus. So I'll tell you guys the story now. One day, Jesus told his disciples to go out on their boat across the lake. The boat was far from the shore when a big storm came up. The wind and waves rocked the little boat, first to the left and then to the right. As the men fought to keep from sinking, they saw something, someone, walking towards them on the water. Yikes! Their bodies shook with fear. They screamed, "A ghost! A ghost!" The figure came closer, and then the men saw it wasn't a ghost. It was actually Jesus. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." Peter, Jesus' friend, then said, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to walk to you on the water." So Jesus said, "Come." Brave Peter climbed out of the boat, and he started walking on the water towards Jesus. But as soon as he thought about what he was doing, really walking on water, Peter got scared. Down he went into the sea, yelling, "Save me, Lord!" Jesus grabbed Peter's hand. "Why did you lose faith?" Jesus asked as he pulled Peter, all soggy and squishy, back into the boat. But now the men believed. This really was Jesus, the Son of God. And that's the story. So do you guys think that it took some trust for Peter to step out of that boat into the crazy storm? Yeah, took some trust, right? Imagine that with 5-foot waves flying at you everywhere. But Peter stepped out. Yeah, it would have been scary, but Peter stepped out. And what does Peter do when he steps out of the boat? He starts walking on water. Can you guys imagine that? Walking on water, like a human person, starts walking on water. It's crazy. But then what happens next is Peter gets scared. Raise your hand if you've ever been scared before. Yeah, I've been scared before too. And what happens when Peter gets scared? Yeah. Does he start? He starts sinking a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Peter starts sinking down in the waves. He gets really scared. He says, "Jesus, help me." But what happens when Peter calls for Jesus? Jesus is there to help him. He grabs him by the hand immediately. Do you guys think that Jesus is going to be there to help you when you get scared in life? Yeah. Sometimes we all have scary things going on in life, but Jesus is there to help all of us. And do you think if Peter could trust Jesus at a time like that, that we can trust Jesus in our own lives? Yeah. I think that we can trust Jesus too. So let's trust Jesus, guys. Join me in a word of prayer now. Heavenly Father, when life gets hard and things get scary, I pray that you would help us all to trust you, to know that you're going to be right there with us, even when we get scared, God, to give us courage and to help us through the struggles and problems in life, God. So help us this morning and for the rest of our lives to trust in you. Thank you, Lord, that you are trustworthy. In your name we pray. Amen.
David, you're an excellent storyteller. I'm not sure they've ever been that quiet for me. Well done. We continue now in worship together with singing our next hymn of praise, "Holy Spirit, Hear Us." Our first reading from Holy Scripture today comes to us from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus, reading from chapter 20, verses 1 until verse 15. This can be found on page 77 of the Church Bibles, and I invite you to follow along as we hear the text read aloud. Page 77. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Our next reading comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, reading from the 12th chapter, verses 22 through 34. This can be found on page 1045 of the Church Bibles. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food. The body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his or her life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not set your heart on what you will eat, what you will drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is God's word for us this morning. To him be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We continue now in worship with singing our next song of praise, "Be Thou My Vision."
Please join me in a word of prayer. Father, thank you that you are here this morning among us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. May you be at work in each of our hearts this morning, God, and in each of our lives, to make us look more like your Son, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. So, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments for the past several weeks now, and now we are on the Eighth Commandment, which is, do not steal. But before we get into the commandment itself, I think it'd be good for us to just have a framework to look at the law and the commandments through, and that framework is the gospel. The gospel tells us that our righteousness is through faith. We're righteous through faith and not through perfectly following the law, because if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died for nothing. The reason Christ died is so that we could be righteous by faith in him and not by our own abilities or our own works. But we don't just get rid of the law either because we're already righteous by faith. Our faith actually helps us to fulfill the law. We have to ask, why would we not just get rid of the law if we're already righteous by faith? The reason for that is that the law is actually God's will for each of our lives. The law is how God is leading us each into lives of freedom and purpose and fulfillment. The law is not a burden. We're not living under the law of sin and death, and it's not a benchmark for us to try to earn God's approval or anything like that. We're already, each of us, loved by God for exactly who we are and where we're at. We're under the law of the Spirit of life, and that means that God is leading each of us into a life of freedom through his law. So the law is a blessing to us. By God's power, we can actually live into his will for our lives, and that's a good thing. So with that framework in mind, we turn to the Eighth Commandment, which is, you shall not steal. So I think it's good for us to ask, how do we steal? What does it look like when we break the Eighth Commandment? I think that there are some more obvious ways of stealing that we've all heard about, like robbery, burglary, shoplifting, things like that, just forcibly taking something that doesn't belong to us. But there's also some less obvious ways of stealing. Sometimes we wouldn't be as quick to think of just dishonest business practice as stealing, but embezzlement, tax evasion, things like that, overworking our employees, underpaying people, paying less than things are actually worth, these are all forms of stealing, and the list goes on and on. There's many ways that we steal. Actually, Martin Luther, who was a great church reformer in the 16th century, tells us that whenever we take advantage of our neighbor in any sort of dealing that results in a loss to him, that's breaking the Eighth Commandment, and that's stealing. And I think that with all these things, there's actually another kind of stealing that we might not think about at all. And that comes from the fact that none of us are actually ultimately owners of what we have, of our wealth and our possessions, and our gifts. Those things actually all come from God. We might want to say, no, my money, my wealth is mine. I worked for it. I worked hard. I put in the time. But we have to ask, who actually gave us the ability to work in the first place? Who gave us skills and passions to put to use and work? God gave us those things. So we're not actually owners of what God's given us. We're stewards. God gave us our possessions, our wealth, our gifts and our skills. Those things are ours, but God gave them to us so that we could use them for his sake. So that means when we aren't willing to use however what God has given us, however he leads us to, we're actually neglecting our stewardship. And that means that we're stealing from God. And God doesn't want us to do that. So just in case it's not getting clear to us by now, we're all thieves. Each of us are thieves, everyone, myself and you guys. I'll say it again, we're all thieves. We've all benefited from others' losses, whether we know it or not. None of us have been perfect stewards of what God has given us. Actually, 8.1% of the world's population owns 84.6% of all of the wealth in the world. We live in a world of incredible inequality, and most of us are benefiting from that. Martin Luther, again, said, if we look at mankind in all its conditions, we're nothing but a vast wide stable full of great thieves. So why do we steal? What makes us do that? What is it about human nature? I think that a lot of things can make us steal, but usually two things are at the heart of why we steal. And those things are fear and greed, and sometimes both. Fear, it's the voice that tells us, maybe we don't have enough. What if we're not going to make it by? Fear happens when we look for a sense of security in our possessions. We want our possessions to keep us safe. We all know that the economy can be unpredictable with things like the financial crisis of 2007, 2008. And I've heard that even the oil industry here in Aberdeenshire has taken a downturn. Even for our individual lives, job security, job availability, income, these things are all unstable things that are really changeable. And when we search for our security in things as fragile as these, we're bound to be driven to anxiety and fear, asking ourselves, what if I don't have enough? What if I'm not going to make it by? That's fear. And greed. Greed is the voice that says, I need more. If I just get a little bit more, if I get one more pay raise or buy one more cool thing, then I'll be happy. That'll give me the fulfillment that I'm looking for. But enough is never enough, because the things never fulfill us. We're always going to want just one more thing. When we look to our possessions, our material resources for fulfillment, to satisfy our souls, it just doesn't work. We've all experienced that feeling of letdown when you buy that brand new thing that you've been so excited about, and you think, oh yes, this is the thing that's really going to make me happy. But then like a week later, it's just another thing. And things are never going to give our souls the fulfillment that we're all looking for. So both fear and greed are powerful motivators to drive us both to steal, but also to neglect our stewardship. And it's just as serious a thing. Fear and greed, they keep us from being satisfied with what we have, and they keep us from being generous to other people. So why shouldn't we steal? What's wrong about stealing? Why is it a bad thing? First of all, stealing is actually bad for each of us. When we steal, we're feeding that fear and that greed that is controlling us, that's eating away at our souls. It's not good for us at all. Like all their sins, stealing's not good for us. God revealed his will to us in the law so that we could live lives of freedom and joy and purpose. And when we break the eighth commandment, we're robbing ourselves of that. So we're going against God's will for our own lives when we break the eighth commandment and when we steal. But we're also harming others when we steal. When we're stealing, we're not loving our neighbors as ourselves. We're actually exploiting our neighbors. And stealing destroys relationships. It destroys relational well-being with the people in our lives. And stealing is actually standing in the way of God's provision for other people. It hurts us and it hurts other people as well. So we've talked about what stealing looks like in its more apparent forms, but also in some ways that we wouldn't immediately guess, like just neglecting stewardship. We've talked about how fear and greed work in our hearts and our souls and drive us to become thieves. Talk about how stealing hurts our neighbors, but it also hurts ourselves, and it's standing in the way of God's will for our lives and for our neighbors. So where's the good news here? It's starting to sound like a pretty gloomy sermon, I'm sure, for all of us here. First, I have a little bit more bad news. The bad news is that we're all thieves, as we heard before. We've all benefited from other people's losses. And none of us, not a single person, has been a perfect steward of what God has given us. We just haven't. We've all been controlled by fear and greed before. We've let fear and greed turn us into thieves, kept us from being good stewards. We all have. But here's the good news for each of us. Jesus died a thief's death. Jesus died a thief's death. He was crucified with two thieves. The Son of God chose to hang on a cross between two thieves so that he could redeem an entire world full of thieves, each and every one of us here, because he loves each and every one of us exactly where we're at. Because of what Christ has done, we're not thieves and bandits anymore. We're sons and daughters of God. We've all broken the eighth commandment. I know that I have. We've all probably done it many times. But God still calls us his sons and his daughters. God paid the price for us, and he's made us his righteous children. And now he wants us to be free from the greed and the fear that drive us to thievery. So how? How can we be free? How can we be free from the fear of not having enough? Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Luke that God will take care of us. God takes care of the ravens. He feeds them, and he clothes the lilies. He'll provide for us, his children. He values his children quite a lot. God wants us to put our trust in him. Jesus tells us not to worry about our lives, what we'll eat and what we'll wear. But if we don't put our trust in God and his provision for us, we're still going to be bound to anxiety and fear, always wondering whether we'll have enough. Now, financial planning and responsible stewardship, these are good things that each of us should be trying to do. But Jesus himself tells us worrying just doesn't accomplish anything. It's not good for any of us. Worrying is not going to pay the bills. We can't look to our resources for that sense of security that each of our souls are looking for. There's only one place where we can find that. In Psalm 62, David, who actually himself happened to be a thief, a liar, and a murderer, he says, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Friends, if David's soul can find rest in God, if he can find freedom from fear in God, there's hope for each of us. Each of us can find that same freedom when we take refuge in God, and we can say the same words as David, "I will never be shaken," because of God and his faithfulness. So let's put our trust in God. Let's seek our refuge in him. Sometimes God's provision for us is going to look like having plenty of material resources to take care of ourselves. Other times, it's going to look like having supernatural peace and strength to endure hardships, because it's not always going to be easy, but God is always going to be there for us when we need him. In whatever form, God is always providing for us, and we can put our faith in him and his provision. So that's how we're free from fear, by trusting in God that he'll provide for us. But how can we be free from greed, from always wanting more? In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells us life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. And just a few verses earlier, Jesus says, "One's life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." What Jesus is getting at here is that our wealth and our possessions can't give us the fulfillment that we're looking for. They're always going to come up short. And as long as we search for fulfillment in our stuff, we're always going to be slaves to greed. We'll never be getting enough, because there's only one person who can truly fulfill us to give our souls enough. Jesus said that whoever comes to him will not be hungry, and whoever believes in him will never be thirsty. Never. Only Jesus, the bread of life and the source of the living water, can actually fulfill our hungry and our thirsty souls. As David says, "God alone is our rock, and he's the only one that we can really depend on to fulfill us." So let's come to God for our fulfillment. In our New Testament passage, Jesus tells us that it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We have the kingdom of God to share with him. The kingdom is ours forever. What more could we ever want? And it's ours right now. We share the kingdom with God. When we come to God, he fulfills the longings of our souls, and he's the only one that can do that. So what happens when we're free from the fear and the greed that control us? In our New Testament passage, Jesus tells us to stop striving after what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. He says that the world strives after these things. He says, instead, strive for the kingdom of God. What Jesus is doing is calling us into a paradigm shift. He's calling us into a whole different way of living life, an incredible new way to live our lives for him, apart from fear and apart from greed. Once we let God, because God's the only one who can do that, when we let God turn our fear and our greed into trust and generosity, we can be freed from the imprisonment of always having our minds set on the worldly things. We don't have to be preoccupied with worrying about how we're going to pay our next mortgage payment. We can make a plan and we can trust that in whatever form God is going to provide for us, we can put our faith in God's provision. And we don't have to be distracted by the false promises of greed and materialism that just one more purchase or one more pay raise is finally going to give us the fulfillment that we're looking for. Because we can have that fulfillment right now in God. It's already ours. We don't have to look anymore. We're actually free to live with our minds set on eternal things, striving not for the things of the world, the things that are driving us to worry. We can actually strive for God's kingdom. We can fulfill the eighth commandment by becoming stewards of the kingdom. Just as our fear and our greed used to drive us to become thieves, our newfound trust and generosity in Christ can draw us to be stewards of God's kingdom. Instead of standing in the way of God's provision for our neighbors, we can actually join God in providing for our neighbors. We can do incredible things when we trust in God. And our neighbors aren't just our next door neighbors. It can be neighbors near and far, all the way across the world. And we do today have neighbors in need. Right now, the people of East Africa are facing the worst chronic hunger and famine in years. 25 million people right now need food assistance, and 3.5 million children are suffering from severe malnutrition, bordering on starvation. Charles Abua, the regional director of World Vision in Africa, said, "Droughts will always be with us, but truly, children do not have to die. They don't have to die. We can be a part of God's provision for these people in need, but also for people in need, wherever need is found. We can join in that." In our New Testament passage, Jesus tells us that when we sell our possessions and give alms, we're making unfailing purses for ourselves, purses that never go away. We have an unfailing treasure in heaven. Stewarding for the kingdom is the only thing of eternal purpose that's going to last forever that we can do with our resources, with what God has given us. And stewardship isn't just an issue of money either. It's how we use our gifts, our skills, our resources, everything that God has given us to live for his kingdom, to live that his kingdom come. And seeking God's kingdom isn't just an abstract idea either. It's not just a nice thing that we talk about as Christians. It's something that changes our whole lives, the way that we live our life each and every day. It means we're surrendering our whole lives to God's will, doing everything for God's glory. Jesus tells us, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our heart is wherever we put our time, our money, our gifts, our passions, our skills to use. So let's put all of those to use for God. Friends, let's give our hearts to God now and forevermore. Amen.
Friends, sometimes scripture can be challenging to understand, but sometimes it's the message itself that is challenging in a good way, in a clear and good way. We've heard the words of Jesus this morning, "Seek first the kingdom of God." We sing our next song of praise in that spirit.
Thank you. Let's join together for our prayers for the world. Dear Father, there are many good things going on in your world that we are grateful for, and we give you thanks. For friends and family, for the gift of marriage, for babies and the delight they bring, for the love and memories we have for those departed this life. In the wider world, we thank you for the beauty of your creation, for days filled with sunshine bringing good harvests, for the bounty you provide for us all. There are, however, many problems in your world too, Lord. Whilst some are natural disasters, like flood or drought, many problems are caused by man and a seeming inability to care for each other, and in many areas to deliberately cause harm. We pray particularly today for the people of Yemen, facing not just homelessness and famine, but the cholera epidemic too. Much of this tragedy is caused or exacerbated by factions in power struggles, and we pray that your compassion and your intent for us to care for each other will reach the hearts of those with the ability to change things here. We ask your blessing on the people of Yemen and of the many other places in great need, Lord. We focus our prayers now on those who are victims of theft or of loss, not of material possessions, but of their lives in the way that you would have them be. Christians denied the right to worship in freedom. People whose daily lives are dictated by their health problems. Those who have been robbed of childhood innocence by abuse. Children whose confidence is undermined by bullies. Families torn apart by terror attacks or disasters. Those whose peace of mind has been destroyed by housebreakers or attackers, and victims of acts of violence and so-called hate crimes. We pray for peace and for healing, and we pray that people can see past their problems and see you in their situations. We thank you for the many people who do see you in their daily lives, despite the difficulties they face. We ask your continued blessing on them. We pray also for those who prey on others, whose own sense of right and wrong and peace of mind have been replaced with discontent, negativity, and with wickedness. We ask for your light to shine in these dark corners of your world. We ask your blessing on those who are bereaved. May your comfort and your strength uphold them in their dark times, with their love and memories helping to ease their sadness, and that they will know your peace. We pray for ourselves as we go into a new week with its challenges ahead of us. Be with us, guide us, and give us wisdom and trust in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, we pray. We bring our prayers, as always, in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen.
When I was in seminary, I had the privilege of taking a class on the Old Testament with Dr. Patrick Miller, who was and is a giant in his field of study. This was the last time he was teaching the class. He was retiring after the class was over. So somebody was bold enough to raise their hand and ask him, "Dr. Miller, how would you summarize the whole Bible?" He didn't miss a beat. He said, "Trust and obey."
Trust
This morning we have heard a truth. We are all thieves. We have all fallen short. But this morning we have heard a greater truth of the gospel, that each of us is called, claimed, and redeemed by Christ. We are all sons and daughters of God by grace. So go forth from this place today. Live into the grace of God. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.